tongue. So I have a cold, so hopefully my voice will hold up here. But last week talked about generosity. Okay, that was a happy subject. I like talking about that. Today, though, we'll be talking about its unhappy opposite, which is greed. Okay, if you noticed, Andy, he read a number of verses from Proverbs. Some of those we'll be using about greed. And, I wish I didn't have to talk about this subject, but God, oftentimes in his word, he talks about unhappy subjects because he wants to warn us because he loves us. Okay, so we have to follow that trend. All right. If we take a good look at our society, I think you would agree that greed is all around us. It is really rampant here in the US. And as I thought about this topic, I think if we could give our country a motto, it would be, "We the people want more. We want more." I think that would be a good motto for our society. We want more. And oftentimes, to get more of whatever it is that we want, many times we do whatever it takes to get it. So I thought of what is some of the things that we are number one in a global scale. Okay, so I'm going to give you a list of this is the things that we are number one in as a country on a global scale. Okay, and these are all negative things, unfortunately. But for example, we are number one in terms of amount of total imports. We are number one as a country in terms of illegal drug purchases. We are number one in watching and producing the most amount of pornography. We are number one in producing the most amount of movies. Now, not all movies are bad, but there certainly are a number that are not worth watching. We are the country number one in terms of highest paid athletes. Again, sports is not a bad thing. I like sports, but I might get in trouble. I don't think throwing a football, kicking a ball, putting a ball in a hoop, I don't think you should be getting millions and millions of dollars for that, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, I'm gonna skip on. The US is number one in terms of gambling revenue. The US is number one in terms of performing the highest number of plastic surgeries in the world. Okay, now, not all plastic surgeries are vain. Okay, some are necessary, but the top two most performed ones are related to cultural standards of looks. I think you get my point. Okay, the US wants and it demands more and more and more of everything. Okay, the reason we are number one in all these categories is because it represents that we want this stuff, right? We want entertainment. We want more movies and more sports. We want drugs. We want pornography. We want good looks. We want money. Okay, we want more and more and more and more and more and more of everything. Okay, and the word for when someone has this insatiable desire for something is called greed. Okay, we are, as a country, I hope not this congregation, but as a country, we are a greedy people. Okay, and I'm gonna, Christine listed it up there. I'm gonna give you three brief reasons as an introduction why greed is problematic. Okay, the first one is that greed is idolatry. It says this in Colossians 3:5. Greed is idolatry. And why is that? Why is greed idolatry? Okay, we talked, I think the first sermon I gave was about loving God. And that is the most important thing that we as humans can do. Okay, but greed is simply misplaced love. When we love looks, money, sex, possessions, or anything else more than God, it is misplaced love and it is idolatry. So not only are we as a country greedy, by extension, we're also an idolatrous people. Okay, another reason that greed is problematic is because many times people use other forms of sin to entice us into whatever it is that we might want. Okay, I hope this makes sense. If greed doesn't get you, right, then the other forms of sin people might use can attract you. And I'll give you an extremely common example of this. Okay, people use lust all the time as a form of marketing to get you to want something. Okay, many of the things we watch, we do, or buy can be marketed through lust. And I'll give you an example. If you think of sports, okay, I don't mean to be getting down on sports all the time. Again, I like sports, but many times people emphasize it a little bit too much. But as an example for sports, they use lust a lot to entice people. Okay, for example, why do we need cheerleaders? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we need cheerleaders in less than ideal clothing, exposing body parts that probably should not be seen, right? People turn on the TV, they buy a ticket to go and watch a team play, but those who are watching, they buy a ticket wherever they go to a place, they get glimpses or recordings of women dancing. And this is, in my opinion, done to attract people to watch football or whatever sport through the use of lust. Okay, I remember, as another example, I remember there was an ad on YouTube a while ago. It was involving two women dealing cards at a casino and they were poorly dressed. Again, it's a marketing scheme using lust to get men to pay attention, you know, maybe to get into the casino or think that these are the types of women that work at casinos. I don't know. Okay, and there's also things targeted at women as well. If you think of alcohol commercials, right? Many of them show a group of good-looking people dressed in nice clothes, surrounded by other good-looking people, also in nice clothes, right? And they want to appeal to pride or vanity to get you to like alcohol, to buy alcohol. Okay. So that's two reasons why greed is problematic, because it's idolatrous. It is idolatry. People oftentimes appeal to our greed by using other forms of sin. Okay, and there's one more problem that we can say briefly about greed. It is insatiable. It is insatiable. It doesn't matter if you have a little bit of something or a lot of whatever it is. If there is greed in your heart, you will want more of it. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this: whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. I remember working in a restaurant in the past where we got paid $8 an hour. That was minimum wage at the time. And people there complained about how little they were paid. Then later, I worked at a construction company. You already know this. I was paid about $20 an hour at that time. And people would complain about how little they made. Then later, I went on to nursing. Nurses, there's a range, but most, I'd say, get paid $35, $40 an hour. Some shifts can get you up to $55 an hour. And nurses would complain about how little they made. Do you see a common thread there? People, whether they're paid $8 an hour, $20 an hour, $50 an hour, $100 an hour, people always want more. They just need a little bit more money to get the house they want. They just need a little bit more money to go on that dream vacation, right? They just need a little bit more money to get a bigger retirement account, right? So if you let greed take over, your desire for whatever it is, it will most likely become insatiable, never ending. Okay, so up until this point, I've mentioned things mainly that you can think about logically. Okay, but what does the Bible have to say? I did mention some verses, but what we'll do now is go over some verses in Proverbs. Right, and the overarching point that I get from these verses is that greed brings trouble upon us. That was the main point that I got from Proverbs. Okay, greed brings trouble upon us. So what we'll do is go over four ways in which greed brings trouble upon us. Okay, you with me? You guys with me? Not falling asleep yet? All right. First point. First type of trouble that greed will bring upon you is upon your family. It is upon your family. We see this in Proverbs 15:27. 28:25, and I did include another verse, 1 Timothy 6:9-10. I just couldn't keep that verse out. You'll see why. It's very good, very well-known verse. 15:27 there, it says, the greedy bring ruin to their households, but the one who hates bribes will live. And then 28:25 says, the greedy stir up conflict, but those who trust in the Lord will prosper. And then 1 Timothy 6, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. All right? So as I've been doing in these past sermons in this book of Proverbs, we'll go over each verse briefly. 15:27, it says very clearly that greed brings trouble upon our household, upon our families. And, you know, sometimes we don't consider that, that our greed can bring trouble upon, it can affect our kids, our parents, our siblings, and so on. Okay, but let's think this through, because this is very important, what we're saying. How does it bring trouble upon our families? How can greed ruin a family? Okay, and to answer that, I think that 28:25 and 1 Timothy 6, I think they can do the job. They answer that question. Right, 28:25, for example, says that the greedy stir up conflict. Okay, how many households have been ripped apart by conflict? Many. Okay, and one of the reasons probably for these conflicts is greed. Okay, I want what I want no matter what it takes. That's the sort of mindset there. And again, these desires, it's not just money. Okay, money is obviously, many people want it, but there's other desires that can rip apart families, that can bring up conflict. Okay, so just thinking of a few examples, I want more money, so I'm going to be a workaholic and spend all my time at work. Okay, forget my wife. And there's some women who do this also. Forget my husband, forget my kids. I want money. Okay, I told you guys, many of you, that before here I used to help out at a Hispanic church, right? And so many people in other countries, something that I learned there, many people in other countries, they're willing to leave their families in another country in order to move to another country to get more money. Okay. And you can imagine what happens as a result of such, right? Spouses are meant to live together, not I'm going to move somewhere else and leave you behind for a few years. Okay. I'm sure that all sorts of conflict come up as a result of that. And along with that, people do all sorts of illegal things to move here or to stay here in the U.S., things that most of you here would never think of. But I met one guy, for example, who is from Vietnam. He claimed to be a Christian, but he moved to Chicago. And when I met him, he had been living apart from his wife for 9 years. 9 years. His wife was back in Vietnam. I could not imagine doing such a thing. Okay, but this is most likely the result of greed. He wants money, he wants better jobs, so I'm going to leave my wife and kids back in Vietnam. I could be wrong, but that most likely what has happened is what I've seen happen in other cases. Okay, but if you are greedy, okay, you are guaranteed. I guarantee you will get into some type of conflict in your life. Okay, it could be conflicts with your spouse. It could be conflicts with your kids, with your boss, with the government. Right? Greed brings all sorts of arguments and conflicts, because what happens is we're essentially putting our desires above everyone and everything else. Okay, and when that happens, arguments are bound to occur. Okay. We look at 1 Timothy 6. Again, we're answering the question, why does it bring trouble upon our household? Okay, the context there in 1 Timothy 6, it is dealing with false teachers. Paul says that those who promote false doctrines do so for financial gain. And the same can be said of today sometimes. Last week, I mentioned prosperity theology. I don't know if you remember that. Leaders abuse people in congregations financially by telling them that by giving more and more and more to the church, they will, in return, get back more and more and more. Okay, so give all you possibly can, right? Why give $100 when you can give $1,000 or $10,000 or whatever the amount might be? Right? These leaders say that because I think they want people's money. But anyway, Paul says that wanting money can lead us into great spiritual danger. And I already just gave you a few examples of leaving behind people in other countries, you know, to get more money. This topic is tricky. I will admit that. Okay, money is necessary. We all know that. We need money. Okay, we can't live without money. And yet God tells us what? To not desire it. So how do you do that? Right? How do you do that? How do you get money but then not desire it? In Mark 10, and I'll give you an example of how dangerous money can be, or the desire for it can be. Mark 10, Jesus says what? That it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, right? Some people think that the eye of a needle there refers to a low entry gate leading into Jerusalem, so it would have been hard for camels to go into the city. And I don't think that's what Jesus is referring to. I think Jesus is making the point that riches make it humanly impossible to get into God's kingdom, because the disciples then ask him, then who can be saved? Right? They don't say, They don't say, oh, it must be hard to be saved. It might be a little bit difficult to be saved. It says, who can be saved? And Jesus says, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I hope you realize how serious of a statement that is for us, for those of us who live. I mean, all of us here live in the U.S., but you know, Jesus says that our wealth, naturally speaking, is a huge barrier to salvation. It's a barrier to salvation, you know, and yet we teach our kids to want more money. We teach our grandkids to want money. We teach our friends to want more money. And even some churches are guilty of teaching people to want more money. And Jesus is saying, you're just making it harder for yourself. You're just making it harder for yourself by wanting more and more and more of money. So, but with that said, you know, it can be a hard balancing act of acquiring money without it becoming an all-consuming desire. So I think the point God is making to us this morning is that you need to trust Him with your finances. You need to trust Him with your finances. And that is all of the Christian life, isn't it? Of trusting God in everything. But that includes finances, right? Don't become a slave to money. Don't become a slave to money. And I don't know if somebody needs to hear that today. Don't become a slave to money. If you become a slave to God, then He'll give you what you need, right? I think we're probably all familiar with people or stories of people where their love of money has led to their downfall. Okay. Still in 1 Timothy, verse 10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. If you love money instead of God or the things you can get with money, it will lead you into different forms of sin. And as it relates to the point I'm making here, these sins will affect your family. Remember the first point here is that greed brings trouble upon your house. Not only that, a love of money can threaten your walk with God, as it says here. Paul says that some have wandered away from the faith for money. You walk away from the faith, you better bet that your family will feel it. In other words, like I'm saying, greed brings trouble upon our families. Okay, I'm going to say this in sort of a joking way, and I don't mean to be speaking bad about my great-grandfather or grandfather. They had a lot of good qualities. But stinginess is genetic for me. I'll just say that. Stinginess is genetic for me. I hope my parents don't get mad at me if they listen to this online. My paternal great-grandfather was renowned for his stinginess. Right? He was born in 1907. He was a plumber in Buffalo. And I think his excuse was going through the Great Depression, right? You save up as much as you could. Some of you are more familiar with that time period than I am. But my great-great-uncle, he's passed on since, he told me once that my great-grandfather, he was a plumber, so he had a lot of just junk metal lying around in his garage. And, you know, if that were me, I'd just give it to somebody. But no, my great-great-uncle, he went to so that would have been his brother-in-law. He went to his brother-in-law. He says, hey, can I take that junk metal in your garage? He says, no, you got to pay for it. Right? Right. Paying for junk metal. Okay. My great-grandfather also, he was so cheap, he would never buy my great-grandmother a birthday present. Okay? And that was kind of sad. I know my great-grandmother cried about it one day to my mom, telling her that he would never buy her presents. But being stingy, being greedy for things can hurt your family members, okay? Now, his son, which would be my paternal grandfather, also got that gene, right? He saved every penny he could. He has also since passed on. And my uncles and aunts, they'll joke about it, just how much he would always try to keep, you know, hold on to money, trying to go to heaven with a suitcase of money type of thing. I remember one time this was at a family reunion. He was complaining to everybody about his electric bill that had gone up by $11 one month. And to me, like, just $11, like, who cares, right? But as it relates to hurting our family, his second wife, she complained quite a bit about his stinginess, right? Thankfully, my dad did not get that gene, but it did skip on to me, right? I struggle with this, okay? I struggle with this. And again, I'm not talking bad about my ancestors. My grandfather, my great-grandfather had lots of good qualities, but it fits into the sermon. But I struggle with this. I struggle with being stingy, right? My tendency is I want to hold on to money. When Pamela and I first got married, I was shocked at how many things a woman could think of buying. For me, When I was single and living on my own, you know, I would spend maybe $50 a week just on groceries, and that was it. What else could I possibly need, right? In the first few years of our marriage there, you know, I would make her feel bad if she spent $50 at Target on new tablecloths. But you know what? I realized pretty quickly in our marriage that I was bringing trouble upon her for something that really didn't matter. Okay, we had more than enough money to be spending $50 on new tablecloths. That was a thing in the first few years there. I'm like, why do we need more than one set? Right? But anyway, okay. But in other words, I hope you get the point. I know we're laughing about it, but my stinginess, my greed was affecting her. It was affecting her. It was making her feel bad. And I realized that I needed to lighten up. I needed to lighten up. I realized that I could trust God with our money. Okay, now I just don't look at store receipts. But but please just understand this. I know we're laughing, but you know, if you're greedy, it will affect your family. It will bring trouble upon your household. Second point there. Greed brings trouble on your town and possibly your nation. And I'll explain this, all right? So yes, your greed can have an even bigger impact than just on your family alone. Okay, and I'm mainly getting this from Proverbs 29:4 and 11:26. There we go. So I'll read that. By justice, a king gives a country stability, but those who are greedy for bribes tear it down. And then 11:26, people curse the one who hoards grain. Okay, hoarding is a form of greed, but they pray God's blessing on the one who's willing to sell. 29:4, it specifically condemns those willing to take bribes. Okay, bribery is simply a manifestation of greed. Okay, I once knew a politician, personally, who was arrested for bribing voters. But think of this. Most of us work some sort of job during our lives, right? In other words, we're doing things interacting with other people, right? If in our businesses, or in our jobs, we're characterized by greed, we'll tear down others. I hope you realize that. All right, just a few examples. If I charge a customer too much for my services beyond what is reasonable, I might end up denying that person a service or product they really need. So in that way, I'm affecting other people besides just my family with my greed. Another example, if I underpay employees under me, my greed might affect their livelihood and they're not getting enough money. In the beginning of James 5, chapter 5, James condemns those who underpay their workers. Another example, if I steal money in some way from my employer, I am partly contributing to my employer's downfall by them losing money because of me stealing from them. These are all ways we can contribute to the downfall of a town or just a large group of people through greed. And even worse is when a large proportion of people in a nation are greedy. Right, this was Israel's problem. In Jeremiah 6, now the book of Jeremiah is heavy on judgment, but God condemns his rebellious people because they are all greedy. A large proportion of them is greedy. Okay, he says that from the least to the greatest, even the prophets and priests, they were greedy for gain. In Israel's case, a large number of them were known for their greed, so much so that it led to the downfall of them as a nation. I do believe that a large number of Americans are greedy, and I think many of us would agree. Would you agree with me that a lot of us are greedy? Yeah, just a few of you, I guess. Just Carol, I think, said yes. So Carol thinks that as a nation, we are greedy, but nobody else. All right. Thank you, Carol. I do believe a large number of us in this country are greedy, and I do believe, this is my opinion, I do believe it has contributed to the moral downfall of our country, because so many of us are greedy. And this is further backed up by 11:26 there. I already read it. People can't stand being around greedy people. They curse them. Even greedy people don't like other greedy people. Have you ever thought of that? But in this case, Proverbs is saying that greed doesn't bring trouble to your town or group of people. Rather, greed brings trouble upon you from your town or group of people. They hate you because you're greedy. So yeah, greed can negatively impact people around you, but it can also negatively impact you if you're characterized by greed. Okay. I don't know why, but this reminded me of the movie Beauty and the Beast. Raise your hand if you've seen that, Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, most everybody. Okay. I think, yeah, we're all pretty much familiar with that story. If you remember the background of the story, the prince, right, the one who gets turned into the beast, he is what? He is a selfish, arrogant, greedy prince in the beginning, who's visited by an old woman who turns out to be a witch of some sort. She asks him for help. And what does he do? He turns her away. Is he greedy? He doesn't want to help people. He wants just all everything for himself. Right? And because he refuses to help her, she turns him into a beast and all of his servants into objects. Right? In the case of the movie, the leader's greed and other negative qualities, it had negative consequences on all of his servants. In other words, the same is true for us. You know, when one of us, just one of us, is marked by greed, it affects those around us, whether it be our town or just a group of people in general. Okay. Now, going on to the next point there, the third point. Yeah, this one's going to be a tricky one, maybe one that you did not think of. You know, we've said that greed brings trouble upon our family. It can bring trouble upon a town or a large group of people. And now I'm going to say that greed can bring trouble on our prayer life. So I have a question for you to think about. Okay. Does God always hear us? Does God always hear us? Some of you are saying yes. Okay, would God ever turn a deaf ear? Some of you are saying yes. No. Some say no. Okay, so we're divided. I used to think that God would never turn a deaf ear. Okay, and I used to say that also. But the Bible does give conditions where it says God will not hear you if so such and such is going on. Okay, there are certain conditions where if God sees them, he will not answer your prayers. Okay, and I'll prove this to you, so I'm not just making it up. But by the way, before I prove it, that should scare you. That should scare us, right? Because if God's not listening to us, then we're on our own. That's not a good thing, right? So looking at Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. Okay, so the idea there, you shut your ears to those who need help. Okay, you stop up your ears to cry for help. What will happen? You yourself will cry out maybe one day and not be heard. But by who? It could be by other people, but I think likewise, it could be God himself will not listen to you. Okay, some of you might not like that, but let me give you a clearer example. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. I don't think you can escape that one. He says to Israel, he says, you guys are in unrepentant, unconfessed sin. And if you want to go that way, I'm not going to listen to you. That's a scary thing, if you think about it. If you're greedy, you don't want to help others, your cries for help probably will not be heard by God. You choose to live in sin. God keeps warning you over and over and over again. You don't listen to God. You say, no, God, I don't want it that way. God has every right to say, you know what? I'm not going to answer your prayers. Okay, here's a difficult one. Another one. I don't think I gave this to you, Christine. 1 Peter 3:7. You just remember now that I didn't give it to Christine. Good job, Andy. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, this is a difficult one. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. He says, husbands, treat your wives well so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Or other versions say that so that your prayers will not be hindered. Most take this to mean that God will not pay attention to the prayers of men who treat their wives like garbage. I think rightfully so. That's a big deal. Okay, lastly, I read Proverbs 28:9. This one is the strongest. Did I give you that one? No, I did not. That was my fault. I think I give Christine verses and then I keep adding. All right. Proverbs 28:9. This one is the strongest. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, God's instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Ooh, that one's the strongest. And there are other verses. If you ignore God's will, you ignore his instructions time and time again. Now, God is patient, right? God is patient. He is kind. He is loving. But if you turn if you say no to God over and over and over and over and over again, he says it right there in what I just read. Even your prayers are detestable. So no, I don't believe God will listen to all prayers given these circumstances, right? But the point for today is that greed will earn you unanswered prayers. Like I said, that's serious. If you want to exalt your desires above God by chasing after a whole bunch of other stuff, don't think God's going to listen to everything you say and give you whatever it is that you want. Okay. Now, if you don't agree with me, okay, I think I can get you on this common life example, right? If you have kids, right? If you have kids, I'm sure you've been through this. Imagine if one of your kids is acting up frequently. Okay. They're lying. They're fighting. They don't listen to you. Then we're in December. Suppose they ask you something for Christmas, right? They say, I really want a new bike. So I have a question. Would you, in that case, give your child or grandchild that new bike, given the circumstances? Would you? Probably. Darlene says probably. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm telling you, I would not. I would not. I would not. I know Pamela would not. Okay. If I have a kid, that's all they're doing. They're living in rebellion. No, I'm a patient person, but I'm saying, like, if this is month after month after month, this is going on consistently. No, 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 Dad. I'm not going to get you that new bike. I don't know. Maybe I'm harsher than some of you. Okay. Maybe I just got myself into trouble. All right. Maybe I would give them that bike just out of my own kindness. All right. But most likely, I'm going to tell my kids, start acting right, and then I'll give you the bike. Okay. I don't know if anybody else here agrees with me. Oh, thank you, Carol. Carol is my number one support today. All right. Anyway, maybe I just got myself into trouble. Oh, boy. But I would imagine that God is somewhat like this based upon these verses. All right. Some of you might not like what I just said about God not listening to us. I just read the verses. Okay. You shut your ears to the cry of the poor, you won't be heard yourself. God says, I'm turning my face away from you because you're living in sin. God has every right to do that. Okay. What should we expect from God if we're living in sin, right? I remember, I'll give you another example. I met a man who was heavily into witchcraft. I used to talk to him occasionally about Christianity. I asked him one day why he wouldn't follow Jesus. He said to me he didn't want to because he asked God for something once and he didn't get it. He didn't receive it. And I find that incredible. Okay. When you're actively, unrepentantly practicing witchcraft, what can you expect from God? You over and over and over again say no to God. You say, I want this, not you. What can you expect from God? Right. But again, God is kind. He might have answered his request based on his kindness. But again, the Bible says that sin separates us from God. Okay. But my point in all this, going back to greed, for living in greedy lifestyles, it will hinder in some way our prayer life. Hey, this is not going to be a popular sermon today. All right. The last point I have for today is that greed will bring you trouble from God himself. It will bring you trouble from God himself. Listen to these verses. Proverbs 22:22-23, do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. 20:22, the stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them. 11:24, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Looking at the first one there, notice it says God himself will take up the case of those who are exploited by greedy people. Okay, there are other verses throughout the Bible that say the same thing, but God will defend the cause of those who have less. Okay, Psalm 10 also says this. It says that God will defend and execute justice on behalf of the orphan and others who are oppressed. And the question is, who would exploit the poor or defenseless? Greedy people, right? Greedy people are always looking for a way to take advantage of others for their own gain. Okay, but if that characterizes you, just know that God himself will oppose you in your dealings. That's a scary thing. Then in 28:22, it says that stingy, greedy people will come to poverty. Now again, this is where we have to remember what a proverb is. Remember that at the beginning of this series, we said that a proverb is a general observation. Not all greedy people end up in poverty. Okay, some actually end up doing very well material-wise during their earthly lives. However, greedy in general, it can increase your chances of having things taken away. And who do you think arranges for those circumstances of having things taken away? I would argue that God himself appoints for greedy people to lose whatever it is that they want. Okay, God is sovereign. Okay, he doesn't always arrange for people, greedy people, to lose what they want, as in the case of those who do well financially, but he does when he decides to. Okay, God opposes greed. Proverbs 11:24 basically says the same thing, that those who are greedy will end up with little. Says they come to poverty. Again, I think God himself arranges for the aligning of those circumstances. And when God does arrange for the downfall of greedy people, it's actually a good thing, if you think about it. For one, the greedy person can no longer exploit other people. And also, the greedy person loses what they want so badly, and they might just seek after God as a result. So it's actually a good thing, if you think about it. All right, so I might have gotten myself into trouble as a result of all these things. But, you know, what's the cure? What's the cure to greed? What do you think? Anybody want to give their opinion?
Love.
Love? Okay, yeah. Love what? You just said love. So I love more stuff, Dr. Zerbe? Love other people. Yeah. You love other people? That's a cure. You love God. You love God more than stuff, right? That's the answer. But also another answer was what we talked about last week, giving, generosity. You want to get rid of your greed? Give it away. Give away the stuff that you love so much. Okay? Instead of striving to get something for you, yourself, and you, give away things. Be generous. Understand also that everything we have doesn't actually belong to us. I hope you know that. Right? Everything we have here is just borrowed. Right? God lends you whatever it is that you have for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Or in the case of Edith, 150. I think Edith is planning on living forever, but right. But everything we have is just God lending it to us. God lends us different things for the time we're alive here, and then one day we have to let it go, right? Your money will not go with you when you die. Your beloved car, your beloved house, whatever it is, it will not go with you when you go. All that's left is your soul. It's the only thing that's left. And like Jesus said, don't lay up treasures here on earth. Lay them up in heaven, right? Long for a heavenly home. Like Hebrews 11 says, long for a heavenly home. Don't get so caught up in earthly desires. And I know it's easy to do so, right? Said a bunch of things today, right? Said three ways in which greed is problematic. It is idolatry. People use other forms of sin to get us to become greedy for things, right? Greed is insatiable. Then we went over four different ways in which greed brings trouble upon us. It brings trouble upon our family. It can bring trouble upon a large group of people, like a town or even our nation, if it's a lot of us. It can bring trouble upon our prayer lives. And lastly, it will bring trouble upon us from God himself. All right, so what I'm going to do is pray, and then I'll ask...